Good morning and a very warm welcome here to Heartlands and Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, continuing on from last week where we were discussing that blessing that was pronounced over us in Psalm 20, today I'm going to continue by looking at the topic of prayer. Prayer is one of these controversial topics and is a great source of debate even in our own home. My wife Vicky would go and say of prayer that prayer is just us bringing ourselves in alignment with what God has already decided. That to me is a very fatalistic look at prayer. I go, no, prayer is a conversation where I can go and seek God, plead with God for people, intervene with for people, intercede for people. And so it's not just that we all are lined up with God's will and just do what we must do as robots. No, it's much more than that, because God is a God of relationship. And so, as I said, even in our own household, there is much discussion of what the way prayer works and how it works, etc., and all the rest of it. As a person, you may be someone who has been faithfully praying. You may be someone who has been faithfully praying for certain things. And one of the key questions that people ask is, where is God? Why didn't God answer my prayers? Well, I would like to go and step into that a little bit. Why is it that God hasn't answered our prayers? Isn't that a very interesting and reasonable question to ask, considering that many of us may have been in a situation where God hasn't answered our prayers? Or maybe it is that God hasn't answered our prayers as we would have desired. When I say that, I consider my niece Emma, who at 7 years of age went and passed away. Yes, God had gone and healed her of cancer. Yes, she had got the all clear. But the after effects of the treatment that was there to cure of the cancer was what actually went and did the poor little girl in. Or was it? Or was it just her time to leave this world? They are the sort of questions that we like to ask. But we consider when it comes to health and such like things, and God doesn't appear to answer the prayer as we would like, then that we go and say, God didn't answer our prayer. The argument was put forward that, well, the natural order of things is that our children should be burying us, or our grandchildren should be burying us. Not that we should be going and burying our child or our grandchild. Is that really the natural order of things? Take a look in the graveyard, and I don't want to be all doom and gloom and gloomy here, but take a look in the graveyard and see how many people have died at very young ages. It was true when Emma had passed away, I just took the time to wander around that graveyard and look at the headstones, and it would surprise you the number of young children who had died. Yet we think it is natural that it should be an order of people should be buried by their children or their grandchildren. But that's not necessarily how it works. But I don't want to deviate. All I'm talking about is answered prayer, unanswered prayer. How do we know that our prayers are answered? How do we not know our prayers are answered? What is it that God is doing? When I consider, for example, Emma and her leaving this world at the young age of 7, I just think of what misery maybe the Lord had saved her from in his grace. What hardships has she not had to go through? Who knows what her future would have been with her health? But God, in his grace and mercy, the healer, the ultimate healer, took her home, thus healing her completely. And now she is with him. And the reason I can say that she is with him is because I know even as a young child, she had given her life to Christ. She'd asked the Lord Jesus to be her Lord and Saviour. And so dying didn't hold any fear for her. Even at that young age, she was ready to go home. Can you say that you have that same assurance? There was much prayer at that time that she would live. But the Lord in his grace and mercy answered prayers of healing, but maybe not as we expected. Because after all, is not the ultimate form of healing that God take us out of this broken world of sadness and misery and sin, where people do terrible things to one another, hurt one another, You may be thinking that me sharing this story is doom and gloom. No, it's not. It is one of those crucial stories that has us question the whole function and reason of prayer. So when you pray, do you know God answering your prayer? Or maybe you're someone and you have given up on prayer. You've decided it's a waste of time. Whatever will be, will be. You have turned into a fatalist. That's not how God works either. It's not c'est la vie. Whatever will happen, will happen. No. That's life. No. God is involved in the intricacies of our lives, in the everyday part of our life, in the complications of our lives. God cares about you intimately. That's what the scripture goes and says. He goes and says that one sparrow will not fall to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing it, and you are worth many sparrows. God wants to have conversation with you, and that's what prayer is. Us listening to God and us speaking with God, sharing with him, speaking with him, talking to him, revealing our hearts to him. And yet God is also saying to us, I know your every need even before you ask it. Does that mean that we don't ask? No. It means that God already knows our need, and that's why we should ask. So we will be delving more into what prayer is and what a prayer looks like by me sharing with you a sermon that I heard that really transformed my life. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we're speaking on the subject of prayer. And I was just saying that I'm going to share with you a sermon that I'd heard on this topic of prayer. This is one of those standout sermons in the whole of my life of going to church, which is the whole of my life, that I remember every aspect of it. There are other sermons that I know bits and pieces of, but this one, the entirety of it, really gripped me. And so when it comes to the topic of prayer, this is what I would like to share with you today and for you to consider your prayer life against this backdrop or model of things. The first thing is that there are two keys. The second thing is that prayer is in three directions. And the third thing is that there are seven areas that we need to pray into. So the first is that there's two keys. The second is that there's three directions. And the third is that there are seven areas of prayer. So let's talk about the two keys. When we think of the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, that's exactly what we do. The person that we address is our Father who art in heaven. So when we are praying, Jesus tells us in his example of prayer that the one that we ought to address our prayers to is God, our Father. Now, that for us can be something that maybe is alien to us. Apart from the Lord's Prayer, we don't speak to God, our Father. Or maybe you're someone and the only way that you know how to pray is to use formulated prayers written by somebody else. They all are well and good and have their place. But what God is desiring from you is a conversation. When I meet with you and sit down and have a conversation with you, you don't sit there just quoting various different people in your answers to me. No, you share your heart. You speak of what's on your mind. And that's exactly what God is looking for. God wants you to speak to him with the honesty of where you're at. He wants you to be real. He knows already what's going on in your heart. And as I've said before, Psalm 139 is a wonderful example of that, where the psalmist is actually sharing his anger, is sharing his bitterness, sharing his hatred towards his enemies. He's telling God exactly how it is, and he's telling God that he wants revenge. But you see, when he actually goes and tells God his heart, that's when God can actually minister into his heart. But God, our Heavenly Father, wants you to converse with him, our Father who art in heaven. So when we're praying our other prayers, when we are praying about the things that are going on in our lives, when we are conversing with God about the places that we find ourselves in, that scary time sitting in the doctors, that place of unknowing what may be involved in regard to our health, when we are looking at that next bill and wondering how we're going to pay it, when we're looking at the rise of inflation and you're already stretched financially, when you are just thinking about the welfare of your children and the school that you may want them to go to, or the going on a trip abroad, all these areas where we come along and we're chatting with God about it, the first of the keys is that we address it to God, our Father in heaven. Father in heaven. The second key is that we go and we finish our prayer in Jesus' name. Now, why do we do that? The Lord Jesus has told us numerous times the way that we should actually pray is, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. Whatever you ask, ask it in my name and I will give it to you. If our prayer is in keeping with the Father's will, I will give it to you when you ask in my name. You see, we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing through Christ Jesus. It is because of Christ Jesus that we can actually come into the realms of glory. It is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, that has shed his blood and forgiveness of our sin, that we have access to the Father. No one can come to the Father except through me, Jesus goes and says. So therefore, if we want to come boldly before the throne, as it tells us in the book of Hebrews in regard to our prayers, and we can come boldly before the throne, well, we come boldly in the name of Jesus Christ to talk to Abba Father, our Heavenly Father. So the two keys for prayer, our Father in heaven and in Jesus' name. If you seriously want to see God answering prayer in your life, you ought to, you've got to, you must speak to our Heavenly Father and ask in the name of Jesus. You see, what we're doing then was we're stepping into what Scripture goes and teaches us. It's in John's Gospel, we've been reading it a number of times over the last number of weeks. If you have been to church or to Mass or any of these places in the Scriptures, we have been reading, ask whatever you want in my name and it will be given unto you. The question is, do we believe that? Do we genuinely believe that if we ask God for something, our Heavenly Father for something, in the name of Jesus Christ, we will be given it? Or are you sitting there listening to me and you're going, well, straight away there's qualifications on it? Of course there is. One of the first qualifications on it is it must be in accordance with God's will, with the will of our Heavenly Father. Why is that? It isn't that God is a control freak. Far from it. Our Heavenly Father wants to bless you, wants to go and lavish his love out upon you. He wants to go and lead you deeper and deeper and deeper into who he is and a greater understanding of his love for you. He always wants what is best for you. His best. Most parents, fathers and mothers, genuinely want the best for their children. God our Father definitely wants his best for you. Two keys. We address our prayers to the Father in heaven, as is modeled in the Lord's Prayer. And we finish it in the name of Jesus. Signing off our prayer in Jesus' name. Welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we're discussing the topic of prayer. And I'm sharing with you a sermon that I listened to and how that impacted my prayer life. Are you someone that when you pray, you wonder, is God even listening? Does God even care? Is he even there for you? Well, the answer is yes, he is. God is there for you. God is listening. Now, there are things that block our prayers. Unforgiveness is one of those things. But at this present moment, what we're looking at is the formula of how we should pray, how our conversation should be with our Heavenly Father. So now that we've considered the two keys of prayer, the next thing is the three directions of prayer. The first of those directions is upward. Our prayer is upward. This is the form of prayer that most of us are familiar with and practice. It is where we are actually praying to God. It's where we are actually speaking to our Father who is in heaven. And that is where we converse. We're talking to our Heavenly Father who is seated in the heavenly realms, conversing with Him about what is taking place in our lives. And that's where we send our petitions. That's where we send our prayers of thanksgiving. That's where we are praying our prayers of intercession. That's where we are praying prayers of adoration. It's always in an upward direction to our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. And as I said, that is the prayer type or direction that we are most familiar with, what we're most used to. The second type of prayer, our second direction of prayer, is outward prayer, and it is warfare prayer. And this is something that we don't go and carry out very often. And so as we have been looking at various things over the last while on Heartlands, you will know that I have spoken about us having victory over Satan, us coming up against spiritual principalities and powers. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Satan cannot separate us from God's love. Satan cannot stop us from having and enjoying an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. What happens is that we allow Satan to stop us. Satan is a defeated foe. He was defeated 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And so when it comes to outward prayer, the old adage is said, when Satan is reminding you of your past, you remind him of his future. But how can you remind him of his future unless you know his future? And that's where we have to delve into the scriptures. And when we're making declarations in prayer, in this warfare prayer, then we can quote scriptures like this, where God, our Father, has said that no weapon that is fashioned against us will prosper. That's taken from the book of Isaiah. That when it comes to warfare prayer, Romans 16 verses 19 and 20 goes and states, the first thing is a command to us that we should be excellent in what is good and stay innocent of evil. And then the second part is, and the God of peace, that is your Heavenly Father, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. So as you walk in the ways of God, Satan will be crushed under your feet by God. So when we are praying, we go and say, no weapon that is fashioned against us will prosper. Satan, you are a defeated foe. Christ defeated you at Calvary. I am no longer unrighteous. The righteousness of Christ covers me. I have been washed in the blood. I am in right standing with God. You see, Satan is an accuser. He's a liar. He wants to go and have you feeling that God doesn't care, that God isn't listening. Right back to that first time when Adam and Eve were in the garden and he went and said to them, did God really say? And that's the battle that you and I have. That word that comes into our head. Did God really hear your prayer? Does God really care about that? All those little doubts, fiery darts, where do they come from? They come from Satan. And that is why we have to put on that gospel armor. That's why we go and cover our head with the helmet of salvation, because it saves our head. Why do we put on that gospel armor? Because of Satan. That's what it goes and says. Our adversary is like a roaring lion, is what Peter goes and tells us in his epistle. Make no mistake, we have an enemy, but he is defeated, and we can declare to him what it is that God is going to do. Satan, the God of peace, is going to crush you underneath my feet. It is not I, it is God. Satan, when you and the archangel Michael were fighting over the whereabouts of Moses' body, he only said four words to you. And I repeat those same four words. The Lord rebuke you. Satan, no weapon that you have fashioned against me will prosper. Not because of anything I have done, but because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has said, no weapon will prosper that's fashioned against me. The fowler's snare, your snare, according to the Psalms, God has set me free from it. But not only has God set me free from it, he has broken that snare. The bondage you've helped me in, you cannot hold me in that anymore. God has set me free. So there's upward prayer. There's outward, which is warfare prayer. And then the third prayer is declarative prayer. And that is where we declare blessing, as we were talking about last week, over one another. Or we declare God's truths over our life. If you are someone today who knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a child of God. You are redeemed. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. They're all declarations over your life. The Word of God. Your Heavenly Father has said, no one can snatch you out of his hand. Your Heavenly Father has said of you that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In fact, it is also engraved on his hand. Your Heavenly Father has said about you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Your Heavenly Father has gone and said that all of these promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In other words, it has been done. They are affirmative and stamped with an approval. Let it be so. That's what the word amen means. So, there's two keys. We pray to our Father in heaven. We ask in the name of Jesus. There's three directions that we pray. The one that we're all most familiar with, we pray upward to our Father in heaven. We make declarative prayer, warfare prayer, out, and let Satan know that he is a defeated foe. God is leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's nothing that you can do about it. You have been defeated. Death has no dominion over me anymore. And then there's declarative prayer, where we declare, the Lord is blessing me this day. The Lord is leading me in paths of righteousness, as I've said. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many people go and tell you that they expect Satan to come along behind them? Oh, I'm being blessed now. I've had a good turn. Well, sure, you know, well, it'll be followed by bad luck. Isn't that the sort of thing that we listen to? Not true. Psalm 23 goes and says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So when you wake up in the morning, do you go and say two verses out of Psalm 23? Speak them into your life. Declare them over yourself. The Lord is going to lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Declarative prayer. Finally, in our next section, we're going to talk about the seven areas of prayer. Welcome back to Heartlands, here at Midlands 103, where we are discussing the topic of prayer, looking into how it is that we should pray. We've looked at the two keys to prayer, Father in heaven and in Jesus' name. We've looked at the direction of prayer, prayer we're most familiar with, where we are actually addressing God our Father. Upward prayer, outward prayer, which is warfare prayer, declaring that Satan is a defeated foe, declaring that nothing that is fashioned against us will prosper, that God is the one who is going to crush Satan underneath our feet, entering into the warfare. The final one then is decorative prayer, where we are declaring over ourselves God's blessings and over our brothers and sisters in Christ, God's blessings, God's leadership, God's faithfulness, God's goodness. As I said, just before the break, even from Psalm 23, we can go and declare, the Lord will lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Declaring over our lives. Things like, as I said, from Psalm 23, the Lord is going to lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a declaration right there. I will fear no evil because, Father, your rod and staff, they comfort me. Declarative prayer. Do you declare God's blessings, God's promises over your life? Because if you did, it would change your perspective. Seven areas of prayer. Just to run through them really fast and then I'll expound on them. The first one is to pray for yourself. The second one is to pray for your family. The third one is to pray for your church family. The fourth one is to pray for your town. The fifth one is to pray for your country. The sixth one is to pray for the world. And the seventh one is to pray for Jerusalem. So the first one is for yourself. The second one is for your family. The third one is your church family. The fourth one is the town. The fifth one is the country. The sixth one is the world. And the seventh one is for Jerusalem. You see, you cannot pray aright for anywhere else unless you first go and humble yourself. That's what it goes and says in 2 Chronicles. Humble yourself. The man who comes and humbles himself and seeks me in prayer, I will listen to him. I will answer him. I will heal his land. I will forgive him of his sin and heal his land. That's a rough paraphrase of what that scripture goes and says. When we are in a right standing with God, then we can pray for everybody else. So we pray for ourselves. Then after praying for ourselves, we pray for our family. As you can see, this is a widening circle. You pray for your family. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Lift them up before your Heavenly Father. Pray into every area that's in their lives. Do you know what's going on with your family? Pray for that hospital visit. Pray for the new school that your child is going to go to in September. Pray for the new class that they're going to go into. Pray for the teachers that are going to be teaching them. God is interested. God wants to know. Pray for the holiday that they're going to have. Pray for safety. All these various things. Pray for your church family. You see, those that you meet with in church, they're the ones that together you go and encourage one another, build one another up, spur one another on. At least you ought to. That when you go and spend that time in church or in mass, that you find out where your fellow worshippers are at and that you can pray into their situation. Pray for your town. That includes your neighbours, your community, the town leaders, those who have been given authority to go and rule over us, that we have voted in onto our town councils, that they will make right decisions, help us to move forward, that they will do the best for their people that they represent. Pray for our country. The Lord asks us to pray for our leaders, our political leaders. How often do we pray for our political leaders? How often do we give thanks for them that they have decided to take up this profession? It's a thankless job. No matter who gets voted in, we're never happy. No matter what policies they're making, we're always disagreeing. Maybe if we started to pray for them, pray that the Lord would lead them in the paths of righteousness. Pray that the Lord would give them a heart for the people. Pray that they will make decisions that are right and pleasing in God's eyes. Samuel, as a leader of the people of Israel, was someone who walked before God in a way that pleased both God and man. Can our political leaders not do the same? If you go and say no to that, then your God's too small. Because God can change the heart or the course of a king. Pray for our country and the decisions that are being made on our behalf. Pray for our world. Well, that kind of goes and is self-explanatory, is it not? Of course it is. We look around this world and we see that it's full of tragedy. We see that it's full of pain. We see man's greed at its best. We see aggression. We see manipulation. We see intimidation. We see domination. Using bomb and bullet to achieve one's own goals. We need to pray for our world. Pray two things. Of course we can pray much more, but two things. That all in our world will come to a point where they'll love the Lord our God with all their heart, mind, soul and strength. And that they love their neighbour as themselves. The final thing is to pray for Jerusalem. Why? Because Jesus has commanded that you do. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When we look at the Israeli and Palestinian conflict that is taking place, is it right? We can take sides on it. Many people do. But at the end of the day, if God was to bring peace to that part of the world, both Jew and Arab would be able to sit down in peace with one another. Why? Because God would be their focus. And God is, as we've said earlier, that God of peace. So, now that I've told you all these things, the two keys, the three directions, the seven areas of prayer, I'll just run through them quickly again. To pray for yourself, to pray for your family, to pray for your church family, to pray for your town, to pray for your country, to pray for this world, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I would encourage you to do just that. to pray. May this be something that transforms your prayer life, and may you see God answer great prayers in your life. Folks, all that's left for me to say at this point is thank you so much yet again for listening to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, show you grace, and turn his face towards you, and give you peace. Amen.